I appreciate Carl very much for standing by to preach this morning. He was willing to preach, and I feel good enough to get up here. But Carl, thank you. Carl was, I'll be ready if you need me. Don't hesitate if not. So I appreciate that very much. But we're glad you're here. So if I don't shake your hand at the door, just know, Katie, I got a big kiss for you as you walk out. If you were unable to be with us Wednesday night, we had Adam Barr joined us from Scotland on Wednesday night. And we enjoyed his presentation. And he's going to be back in May on a Sunday morning to be with us. And I know you'll enjoy that presentation. But Adam came in his kilt. It's not every day we have someone come in their kilt to church. And it was a very informative presentation, so it went a little long. And John Harris went out in the hall from class and looked and said, "That man in the dress is still talking. We're going to sing another song." So, but we did enjoy that. And lots of opportunities in Scotland. The work there is slow, but the church is growing. But it's very interesting. While the church in Great Britain is, and I'm talking about, let me back that up, not church, Christendom in Great Britain is in great decline. It is really a large part of the heritage of those of us who were greatly affected by the Restoration movement, because many of those early Restorationists came out of the Presbyterian Church of Great Britain. And so it's quite interesting the impact they have had on us. And so the church there seems to be growing some. We have supported David Coggin in that work in the past. And so we were glad to meet with Adam and look forward to him and his wife being back with us in May, and hope that you'll come be a part of that. As Adam was talking, and I'm going to revisit a passage that we looked at just a couple of weeks ago, but from a different angle, this discussion that Peter has about the destruction of the world, that this world is coming to an end. And that's important for us to remember. One, that Jesus is coming again, and we'll talk about that as we close this lesson in just a few moments. But that all the things that we see and know and that we build and that we find are important and that we take great pride and great energy in as people will be laid bare, will be destroyed, that they won't last. Now, not all the things we do won't last, but those things of a nature that we build out of our own desires to build and to attain won't stand the test of time. And that's important to remember and to be reminded, because most of us don't want to work on something that's not going to last. I hate to do repetitive work. Do you hate to do repetitive work? Now, some of you like mowing the grass. I do not. I do not like to mow the grass. Now, I love to mow a hay field. I love to mow a hay field, especially if it's thick and good, and I thoroughly enjoy it, because I'm not going to have to come back next week and mow that hay field again. I wish that were the case, but that's not the case. You know, it's kind of done. But mowing the yard, it's like when I get finished, it's not going to be long. I'm going to have to turn around and do it all again. You like those things that when you do, they last for a while. Or they'll last. If you can do a job, say, "I'm done with that. That's finished and done." Because we like to work on things that last. But the things of this life, even though they might last for years, won't last for a long period of time. They're going to be destroyed. I don't know why I thought of this, but I've often contemplated, because I'm intrigued by the loss of the Hindenburg, the loss of the Titanic, those great innovations that went down in tragedy. But I can only imagine the excitement of being able to work on the Titanic, to have designed that great ship and to have built it. And I can only imagine when it was put into the water for the first time. It had to be in a magnificent occasion. If you had worked on that, what a magnificent thing. The ship that was to be unsinkable, and it was one of great class and one of great design. not only from its ability to float, but just all of the modern conveniences that it had for the time and all of the luxuries that it had at the time. And in fact, it's quite interesting as you study that, and there's always, it's like so many other things, so many theories about why that went down. But part of the reason that they hit the iceberg as they've done more study is that they were sending telegrams for the wealthy patient, for the rest, not patient, but wealthy people on the ship, back home about being on the ship, and ignored the warnings coming from other ships because they were charging to send these messages. And so they kept their machines tied up sending those messages. And so the warnings never got to the bridge that there were icebergs in the area, which other ships had seen and were doing what they do, warning others. But it was a glorious thing, and this voyage, and everybody was excited about it, and then it sank, and all the tragedy that came with that. And so now you very rarely find any things about folks that, yes, I designed and built the Titanic. Probably not something that you talk about, but at the time, it would have been such a great achievement and so exciting to be a part of that. And I think about in our lives, what do we find ourselves building and working on and finding great confidence in? Because as Adam was talking, that humanism in Great Britain and over large parts of Europe, but he spoke specifically of Great Britain, has almost and has become a religion to the point that they are doing funerals and weddings that are humanistic. I'm not sure what you do. I guess you read poems. I'm not being ugly, but that becomes, you know, but actually it has become this group, as actually said, you know, we'll do these what have been traditionally religious ceremonies to the point that it has almost become a religion. But it is designed around what and around whom? Around human beings, right? Around human beings and about what we can achieve and accomplish. And no, when I say achieve and accomplish, that would be not only in our technology and our ability to build and to design, but also our achievements in art and music and literature, all of those things that we do. And do these things make our lives better? Well, yeah, in lots of ways, our life is better because of the things that we have been able to do and to achieve. You know, our world is better because of the art and architecture that exists, right? Now, that's not something I'm hugely into, but it is better, right? It brings some value, if you will, to life, some enjoyment. Music certainly brings some enjoyment to life. I like architecture. It's interesting to go around and see buildings that are attractive versus those that are not. Things that are well designed. I like technology. I like our technology in healthcare. You know, last night I really liked a heater. I'm wild about hot water. I'll just be honest with you. I'm wild about hot water. You know, you don't want to take it for granted, but I had worked out yesterday even not feeling well, and I'm going to tell you, that shower, because I was cold to the core. You know what I'm talking about? You're just cold to your bone. And I just stood under that hot water, which we have a tankless hot water heater. So it's not running out. It's a wonderful thing. And I share that because those things are wonderful. And I don't want to take away from them. And that there are things that make our lives more comfortable and pleasant are not in and of themselves bad things. However, they have to be in their perspective, in their right place about what's important. Because what tends to happen to us, and it is happening to us, that we begin to attack all the situations and problems and events from life, if we're not careful, from what perspective? How are we going to fix it? How are we going to fix it? And if we're not very careful, it becomes all about us as human beings and our abilities and technologies and knowledge and achievement. And God is moved out of the equation. God is moved out of the equation. And then it becomes about us, that we can make everything better. And And then it causes great conflict among us, because then the battle of ideas become, but which one of us knows best how to make things all better? We're a country kind of polarized. Now, depending on toward which end of the polls you might find yourself, and probably very few of us are at the far extremes of the polls, maybe some, but most of us would be somewhere off of dead center, to the left or to the right toward a poll. But whichever one of those that you come to, whichever poll you might be closer to, the group on the other side just doesn't know, right? And sometimes we think they don't want, but what do both groups, and there are probably multiple groups, both is probably not true, but it would be much more of a star than just a line with two poles. It would have spears out or out at different ends that people would go to look for knowledge. But people might have different views. But what does almost everybody desire? To make things better. To make things better. And we do it based on our perspective of what's best. And if your perspective is different than mine, then that puts us in great conflict. It just has to. It just puts us in great conflict. One of the great lines that Ronald Reagan ever spoke was, our liberal friends are not wrong, just so many things that they believe aren't so. You know? And that kind of sums up where we are. How do we deal with those things? Because what happens is then we begin to fight and battle over what is best. And it becomes a battle of our ideologies and our thoughts. And we've got to back up at some point and saying, is this all going to last anyway? What about our knowledge? I've shared this with you before. It is hard for me to imagine going backwards from where we are now. It's difficult for me to imagine going backwards from where we are now, to know less, to accomplish less than what we've accomplished. Because most of us in our thoughts think that as we go forward, we are probably now, we might not think society is headed in a better way, but we think from our knowledge standpoint that we're going to build on the knowledge that we have. Is that kind of a fair assumption for most of us? We think that that will improve, at least for a time. You know, we understand that the end is coming, but that we'll build on that. But we look back at great knowledge and great societies from our past, from ancient history. And there's lots of knowledge that those people have that we no longer have, right? Or that we're learning again. That through social upheaval or wars or tragedy, that knowledge and achievement could be lost. But we shouldn't really be surprised about that or all that worried, because I want to back up now. And the point is, as we see those things and even find some comfort in those things, who is always in charge and in control? God is. And that's important for us to remember and realize. God always is. Now, I heard on the news the other day that, you know, we're always looking for a place where there might be more life, and there are planets that that they think might be sister planets to Earth that could sustain life. And that may well be. I have no idea. But here's what I know. Who created all of that? God did. I mean, I still really have trouble balancing this concept that God knows the number of hair on my head, and a sparrow falls to the ground, and God knows it, with the knowledge and concept that God created and oversees and is aware of everything going on in the whole universe. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, things we haven't even seen or comprehended yet, and may not for in this life. That God is over all that, designed it, created it, oversees it, knows. And yet He knows each one of us intimately. Now, I believe both of those concepts. I believe God created and oversees the whole universe, everything. No matter how many light years away they may be, that God is familiar with them. I believe God is closely and intimately involved with us as well. And while I believe that, it is still a difficult concept for me to imagine, because He is just so above what I can know or imagine. But realizing that everything except for God and those things about His business won't last. They won't last. Those things that we do as human beings will not last. That they will be destroyed. As important as they seem, as comfortable as they make things, the problems that they do solve, they're not going to last. Just like building the Titanic, it didn't work out like they thought. Even things that we do that will not end in that, when the Lord returns, those things, they'll be destroyed. They won't have value. The earth will be laid bare, Peter says. All of those things will be gone. All of those things that we might achieve will be gone. Those things we might achieve individually as a group. And so Peter says then, what matters? What really matters? Well, the only thing that really matters is what we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul would say. That there's only one foundation, and that's Christ. And the important thing is, what do we build on that foundation? If we don't accept the foundation and don't build on the foundation of Christ, then nothing else we do matters. I just want to make that point clearly. If we don't build on the foundation that is Jesus, nothing else matters. Because Paul will even talk about building on that foundation, and how we build makes a difference. But if we're not on the right foundation, if the foundation is about us, and we forget that we're made in the image of the Creator God, that we are not God. Now, I don't know many folks that would say, I'm God, or I'm a God. I don't know any folks that I know of would say that. And I think some folks might. But collectively, much more than individually, we would find ourselves to be the ultimate source of knowledge and power and improvement. Is that fair? We would find ourselves, and that's where humanism comes in. That's where this whole concept that we're the ultimate source, and we remove God from His place, is God, who is the ultimate source of all things that are good. That's what He says. Every good and precious gift comes from God. Every one of them. And it is God who shares with us knowledge and sets our boundaries and our times and allows us to do things. Remember the story of the Tower of Babel? If God doesn't want things to happen, is it going to happen? No. God allows those things to happen. He allows us to do those things, and I'm thankful for that. But it's all within His power. And ultimately, all that lasts are those things that are built on the foundation of Jesus and that are about God's business. And so how do we build? First, we've got to build on the foundation, which is Jesus, acknowledging God and the Lord Jesus. Every day in our lives, acknowledging who gives us strength and care and ability and who watches over us. Who solves our problems and provides us protection. David, with all of his struggles and problems and responsibilities. Because David had a lot of responsibility as a king, right? He was responsible for the nation, for its protection, for its welfare, for its improvement. That's what kings do. But who did David acknowledge as his strength? God. Who did David acknowledge as his rock and his fortress? God. Who did David acknowledge as his provider? God. David understood that it was God who oversaw and protected and provided for him. And that's important, that we remember that we walk in God's paths, and He brings light to our paths. And that if we build on the foundation of Jesus and build God's way and about God's business, that God will help us build things that last, that will actually withstand the fires, that will actually withstand destruction. Wouldn't you like to build works that last? Absolutely. Works that last. And so Paul would say, if we build God's way, then our works will last. We'll build things that actually matter. Because the things that actually matter are got God's business. Because all the rest of this will be burned up. It will be gone. It will be destroyed. But God is eternal, and He shares that eternity with us. And if we lay up our treasures in heaven and build God's way, we will build things of lasting value. Remembering that God is God. Sounds a little redundant, doesn't it? But remembering that God is God, and we don't make Him in our image, but we're made in His, is the foundation for building those things that last. Honoring the Creator, not the creation. Honoring the one who made it all, not what was made. It's the most important thing. Remembering God and His place and His eternity and being about His business. Because the Lord is going to return again. Jesus is coming back. He left and He's coming back. And He's going to bring judgment and life with Him. And the things that we know here will be destroyed. But Jesus has prepared a better place for us. And we have access through Jesus and through His blood that was given for us at the cross. Because as we talked about just a few weeks ago, sin always has a price, and it is death. And Jesus paid that price for us so that we might have lives that matter and lives that last through eternity. Because Jesus has paid the price that we might be children of the King, children of God. We might be cleansed of our sins, washed in His blood, and heirs of eternal life. If you need to respond, would you do that while we stand and sing?